This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
3 month reprieve.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. In this economic fallout in which the auto industry's hit a financial telephone pole, an airbag has deployed. It is a White House plan, $17 billion in federal loans through Wall Street bailout money. It would pillow the harsh environs of a stalled economy. Car makers would have until the end of March to restructure toward profitability. Most importantly, President Bush says it helps to avoid disorderly collapse.
The actions I'm announcing today represent a step that we wish were not necessary. But given the situation, it is the most effective and responsible way to address this challenge facing our nation.
The White House fears an industry collapse could affect millions of American jobs. The economy's already having to swallow lots of layoffs, which means less consumer spending and deteriorating credit. What does Wall Street think about all of this? All right, maybe a little traction here this morning. The Dow is up by about 2%, about 159 points. The NASDAQ up 40, about 40. S&P 500 up at this hour by about 16. Asian markets were down. Hong Kong lost more than 2%. The Nikkei dropped nearly 1% despite an interest rate cut by the Japanese Central Bank. Europe's mixed this hour. London is down slightly. Paris and Frankfurt are up. There's a dispute over ethanol's environmental impact, and that's holding up final EPA rules mandating how much biofuel the U.S. should produce. Congress wants more analysis, but industry groups say the delay could fuel more opposition to biofuels. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sarah Gardner.
Corn ethanol's already taken heat for higher food prices. Now scientists are questioning whether it actually produces more greenhouse gas emissions than regular gasoline. That's if you take into account indirect impacts like rainforests being converted to cropland. Jonathan Lewis at the Clean Air Task Force says that's because cutting down rainforests releases carbon dioxide.
That initial upfront release of soil and plant carbon swamps whatever benefits we get over the long term from using biofuels.
The EPA's initial calculations of biofuels' climate impacts alarmed industry. Biofuel producers have lobbied the administration hard to omit those calculations, calling the science immature. The new rules are currently stuck in the White House Office of Management and Budget and will likely end up yet another headache for the Obama administration. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Sirius XM says job cuts will lower its workforce in 2008 by 22%, more than 400 workers. Electronics giant Panasonic will buy Sanyo. And Miller Coors Beer says it's taking the jolt out of its Sparks product. Critics say caffeine and alcohol, not such a great combo.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Given the Bernard Madoff scandal this week, the word Ponzi has been used over and over. Ponzi, it sounds like a character from Happy Days, right? Or was that Potsy and Fonzie? Anyway, Ponzi was a real person, and his scheme is the theme of today's Marketplace Decoder. Here's Mitchell Hartman with the primer.
We'll get to Mr. Ponzi in a second, but first, the Ponzi scheme. It's a bit like alchemy. The financial wizard offers to take your gold, your money, and turn it into more money. He claims to do this by secret and esoteric methods, currency arbitrage, it might be called, or high-yield hedges. And he promises to work his magic at a startling rate, a guaranteed return of perhaps 20% each month, like clockwork.
If it's too good to be true, you're right, it is.
Rich Dipple teaches accounting at Webster University in St. Louis.
when you're investing, there's ups and downs. But somebody who just seems like is a genius again and again and again, it's like, hey, is there a problem here?
There is a problem. In a Ponzi scheme, few, if any, assets are actually bought with your money. And there's no real return on investment, even though the operator may send you fictitious financial statements on fancy stationery showing your investment account growing quarter after quarter.
Instead of investing your money, he or she takes it and then solicits more customers and then basically takes the new money coming in and pays the existing investors.
A Ponzi scheme needs ever more investors to pay off the earlier participants and keep things afloat. Eventually, there's not enough new money coming in to pay back what was initially invested or to keep delivering the huge returns that have been promised. And what happens then?
Eventually it implodes or they take off to South American country or something.
Or, like Bernie Madoff, end up wearing an ankle bracelet and confined to his $7 million Manhattan apartment pending trial. And why did anyone fall for this latest Ponzi scheme? Well, greed for one thing. The returns were apparently steady and reliable, even if conjured up out of thin air. And the original schemer? Charles Ponzi was an Italian immigrant who, in the early 1920s, offered astronomical returns through a strategy he dubbed international postage arbitrage. His entire portfolio turned out to be $30 worth of postal coupons. Ponzi went to prison. The millions that had been invested disappeared into his magic cauldron of financial fraud. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Finally, guinea pigs are a bigger breed of animal in Peru, as animal and as delicacy, and they're featured at many a holiday party. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Guinea pigs have been a staple in Peru for at least 15 centuries. They can be fried, roasted, and stewed, and are often served with vegetables. In one town, the main cathedral even shows a painting of the Last Supper, with Christ and his disciples dining on guinea pigs. Peru is now trying to market the guinea pig, known as cuy, as a low-cost alternative for Christmas dinner. $3 worth can feed a family of eight. This week, officials presented a live guinea pig dressed as Santa, along with eight cooked comrades by his side. Dennis Jett is a former U.S. ambassador to Peru. He says Peruvians will have a major hurdle selling the average American on guinea pig.
Overcoming the image, I think, of some nice little furry creature that belongs in a cage somewhere as opposed to in a stew pot.
So how does a guinea pig taste? Its white meat is often compared to, you guessed it, chicken. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a good Friday and a good weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.